Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Letitia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook, or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Letitia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Craig Harry with us all the way from Australia. So, Craig, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, thanks for having me tonight. My name is Craig Harry, and I am a hypnotherapist that specializes not only in current clinical healing, but also in past life regressions and healing through that avenue as well. And also being a paranormal researcher as well. So jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades. This is going to be an interesting conversation. So tell us a story to and through survival mode. Well, okay. let's start with how do you describe survival mode?
Yes, it's on several different levels, but basically three different levels. You've got your physical survival level as an animal, as a human being. Then you've got your mental survival level and how you process that and think through that. And then you've got your spiritual level, which is a much deeper understanding and a deeper encompassing of the three. But we are those three different levels within us. So there is different areas of healing, and one helps the other, and all three, when all three are balanced, of course, we can definitely heal a lot faster that way. It's no good healing the body if you don't heal the mind, and it's no good healing the mind if you have a broken soul. So to get all three healing is a good thing, if you can.
Holistic healing is definitely the way to go. So let's start with the story.
Okay. I'll start with myself very quickly. I was a man of science, and laboratory technician, and basically science could explain everything that I was seeing in the world. And it wasn't until I lost a family member that I started to question what else is there to life. That was pretty traumatic, and you just have to breathe and take one step at a time and just kind of survive the moment and go through that numbness and then start to piece things together. And my curiosity is always working. So I wanted to know, was there anything more to life? Are the stories correct, or is there more to it? So I just started reading books, different books, and at the same time, I did have confirmation that my family member survived the physical life, and they sent us some amazing physical messages in our house. So that really got me thinking, okay, I should explore this. I should look into this further with a scientific mind. If I can't prove it to me, I can't prove it to anyone else. So I wanted to see if I could answer my own questions. So, just started exploring all of it. And as I explored, I learned more. And as I learned more, I found that I had a calling in this area to help people. And once I realized that it all worked as far as past life regressions and getting in contact that way, I thought, what a wonderful way of healing this is. So I pursued it, and 25 years later, here I am, hundreds of clients later. But it is amazing, because when we're dealing with normal life's traumas and normal, what I call normal physical traumas in life, sometimes, as our mental academy and institutions know, they can't always fix everything. And there was a book by Dr. Brian Weiss, a professor of psychiatry, called Many Lives, Many Masters. And he realized that past life regression was helping a client of his that wouldn't respond to pharmaceutical drugs or any other psychoanalysis. And he, first time, he stumbled into it by accident, and he was just like, well, I have to pursue this because it seemed to have a benefit for my patient. And he stepped into a bigger world of helping and healing and therapy. And again, as I read more, I learned more. And when you learn more, you can do more. So from there, the first year, I just experimented with my own friends. They were my willing guinea pigs to have past life regressions. And I was amazed that it could work. And basically, I was told very early that it's not here for entertainment. It's guided, it has a purpose, and it's about learning and healing. So I don't choose the past lives. I don't select what they're going to see. That's up to our teachers, what we call our soul guides. So if we've had 100 past lives, they will select maybe only three that will be relevant to the life you're living and what you're going through at this moment, and what will help the most and heal the most. So I'm always amazed with their wisdom and understanding, and they know us like our grandparents. They know us inside and out, and their unconditional love is amazing. And some of the healing episodes we've had have been amazing too. And it does link into how we are in our current world. And we can bring fears and phobias over from past lives that won't have any source in our present life. So by expanding this new area, we can really help to encompass what needs to be healed. Abreaction, at least, by finding the information, we can identify it, and then we can process it, and then we can heal. If you don't know where the event was or what happened in that event, then you can't digest it and process it, and then you can't release and heal from there. So when people have fears and phobias, say a person has a phobia about being bitten by a dog, and they've had it ever since they were small and everything. And they asked their parents, you know, were they ever bitten by a dog? And they said, no, I don't know where they got this fear from. It's never happened in their childhood. And then we do a past life regression, and it turns out in a previous life, they might have been killed by a pack of wolves. So that definitely gives them the information they're looking for. The subconscious and the conscious mind are able to link that information and then process it and heal it from there. It's always amazing how the subconscious can links information together, and that affects our present world and even memories. I've definitely had clients that have had childhood memories or teenage memories that have been traumatizing, and they've done the amnesia band-aid. They've selected to forget that traumatic event, and they'll put this band-aid of amnesia over it, and they don't even remember that episode happened as an adult. But the energy comes through, the fear and the phobia comes through of that traumatic event, but their conscious mind can't process it. It can't place it in a basket. It can't digest it. So it's just lingering there all the time. And when we do a past life regression, I tend to ask the client to search their current memories and their past memories, because it could be in their present life the source of this trauma, and it could be in a past life the source of the trauma. So I just facilitate an environment where their mind can find their own information. And I'm more of a guide and healer and teacher to help their own process from there. So there we go.
There we go. What I find interesting is there's five steps that you use or is results from that examination, that past life examination, that identify, digest, process, release, and heal. And I think that's very key. And when I talk about survival mode and accident survival mode, I say that it happens in three phases. The first phase is self-awareness. And that to me is aligned with that identify step for you. It's really uncovering, like getting clarity on what's impacting you, what's impacting your life, and the source of that, right? And I often talk about you can't change what you cannot see. So can we go into the steps a bit more? I mean, they are quite clear by the labels that you you have assigned them, but can you go into a bit more detail what is going on underlying under the surface during these five steps?
For sure. I can take a current life problem with a client. She was saying that she did not like men touching her. She didn't feel at ease with men around her, even though she'd been married for something like 15 years with her own husband, even. And she thought it was just her. So there was the problem. There's the fear or phobia or the trauma. But she couldn't tell you when it happened or what happened or why she felt that way. So for her, she's lost. She can't identify anything to start with. You know, where is the wound? I can't tell you. So that's why we tried regression hypnosis. And it turns out that when she was about 14 or 15, she had a basically first date with another boy from high school, and it was a date rape. And she was so shocked by it and so traumatized by it that she convinced herself it didn't happen. And that was the amnesia band-aid. So that was her way of coping with it. And her mind went along with it. And within 24, 48 hours, she had buried it away and was pretending life was okay again. And you can pretend for so long, but the symptoms leak through, and the symptoms are fear and phobia of men. And so once we identified where it was and that it was her, it did happen. And she's having that ab reaction of, oh, that's real. I know that person. Yes, that I do remember parts up to that. But then she gains the whole story. Then she gains the full information. And of course, then she starts having the 5 steps of grief straight away because she hasn't grieved yet for that traumatic event. So that's the healing as well. To look at it, understand what's happened, understand she survived it, she's here in the now, and to mainly release those negative energies, you know, all the energies, because without doing that, it's still as fresh as it just happened 5 minutes ago. That's the amazing thing with memories. There is no clock to say, it's been 20 years, that should be way in the past. Your mind keeps it as if it just happened 10 seconds ago. There is no time limit with a memory. So we go through the healing process of looking at it in a nice, controlled, relaxed environment, understanding what happened. And definitely, then she has something to anchor with. She has something to process. She has something to grieve over then and go through the 5 steps of grief. And then the healing, definitely from there. It doesn't, never will we 100% heal any of our traumas. But if we can live with them, if we can turn down the volume enough that we can live with them and that they're not interfering with the quality of our life, then that's the main thing. And then we work on it for the rest of our life. We work on minimizing it even more from there.
Yes, I agree with you 100% that we do not 100% heal from our traumas. Some
No.
people think that there is this destination of healed and all of a sudden life gets back to normal. But we as humans, as physical, mental, and spiritual beings, we hold
Yes.
on to these memories. And no matter how hard we work on it, triggers still exist. Right.
Yes.
And I often say, you know, as someone who has spent decades healing,
Yes.
it's always that next level that awakens you to elements of your life that still need work,
Yes.
which is why the healing process is a journey.
Yes.
Right.
And definitely talking with someone else, and especially someone else that's been through similar things that you've been through, not exactly, but can kind of relate, can kind of understand. And that's why therapy groups are great as well, to understand you're not alone. Other people have been through that. They might have different skills in helping them to cope with it and heal through it as well. So by everyone sharing their own stories, and you might find yourself that, oh, wow, I've got something to contribute to this group because I found this really helped me and I didn't know other people are still struggling with that.
I always say that sharing our stories builds community. There
Yeah.
is a therapeutic value in sharing our stories as well, because every
Yes.
time we share, we heal a little bit more. You know,
Yes.
there's this level of acceptance when we can tell our story over. And again, when I
Yes.
talk about acceptance, it's not agreement, it
Yes.
is understanding that this element, this event, this scenario
Yes.
happened, and it's
Yes.
nothing we can do to change it, but we have to now live with the
Yes.
residual impacts of that. So, one of the things that you also mentioned is the grief. There's 5 stages of grief, and I don't
Yes.
think a lot of people recognize that a huge part of our healing is that grief element. A lot of
Yes.
people align grief with death.
Yes.
And oftentimes we are killing a part of ourselves so that we can grow beyond it.
Yeah.
Actually, my memoir, which is not released yet, is called The Death of Me,
Right.
because I recognize that I had to grieve who I became in
Yes.
order to survive so that I can move forward. So, for the audience, can you break down the five steps of grief and how that relates to
Sure.
trauma and healing?
Sure, definitely. And in saying that with the grief, I mean that it can be normal things in life that we are injured over and that we have to grieve over that we've lost. And it could be a relationship, that didn't work, a marriage. It can be a career. It can be a physical injury. It can be just traumatic things that happen in life that we have to process. And the five steps is definitely denial is the first one. It didn't happen. Well, that didn't happen. And that's the shock value. Imagine, if you will, like soldiers and a landmine. When a landmine goes off, there's a shock of explosion and there's dirt and dust everywhere, and you're dazed. You're dazed, you don't know what's happening, and you can't see around you, you can't hear. People do have that first denial of that didn't happen. No, what? I don't even understand what happened. So that can be the first stage of grief. And then once we start to understand what's happened, then we have anger. Because how dare this happen to me, or how, why did that person, or why did this happen? And this has hurt me. So I'm angry. This hurt me. I wasn't hurting anyone else, but this has hurt me. So anger, definitely. And then some people just get stuck on anger and they're there for a long time. And they can be there for life. So that's a big hill, anger. Then you can have negotiation. What if I'd done this? What if I'd done that? If only this person had done that. We want to see an escape door somewhere, an exit door, that this has happened. And, if only there's an exit I can use to get out of here because I don't want to be here. So that's negotiation. And then you finally go, oh, wow, I can't get out of this. So then you're getting close to accepting what's happened. But then you go into depression because you realize you've been hurt. I can't negotiate my way out of this. And you're stuck with it. So depression is without hope, that you've been hurt and there's no hope of getting away from it. And then finally, yeah, the last one is acceptance. You accept what happened. And that acceptance can be on so many different levels. It can be on so many different topics of what you're accepting, not just accepting it, but accepting a new life now that is, you can never go back to the old life you had. You're now on a new path. And how that affects people around you, how that affects yourself, how that affects you physically, mentally, spiritually. So yeah, there's all different paths in that acceptance as well. And grief is managed, it's not cured.
Yes, just like trauma, just like healing, grief is an ongoing process. And I believe you can cycle back to those stages if you don't have, a healing plan in place. And as you mentioned, that anger, the anger, it is a piece in healing that a lot of people avoid. Right. I don't want to anchor into my anger. I don't want to address it even. So I kind of stuff it, and then it rears its ugly head in the very oddest moments. But when I also talk about accident survival mode, I talk about the reprogramming that has to happen. Right. And I think that is addressing the anger piece, right? Being able to unpack the emotions that we have. And as you and I both know, anger tends to be the core emotion expressed across humanity.
Yes.
But behind that anger is usually hurt and
Yes.
pain, and
Yes.
which is why it's important for us in our healing process to challenge the narratives that we hold and
Yes.
challenge the emotions that we carry, because
Yes.
oftentimes we think we're angry. But what's really happening is we are filled with so much pain that we
Yes.
don't want to process the pain. The anger seems easier.
Yes. Well, as angry Homo sapiens, that's one of our first emotions, definitely. And anger only comes from hurt. I can't think of any other example of anger without it hurts you some way to get you that angry about something. And yeah, I found out through my own process, I had one of the flus years ago, and it was such a long illness that it must have changed some chemistry within me. But I found that I couldn't get happy about anything. I was flat. I was numb. There were no colors. That's not like me. And I'm just like, where did my rainbow go? I couldn't find colors in anything anymore. And I was quite surprised how numb I was emotionally. I could do everything else, but emotionally I was flat. I didn't care about things. I didn't care about causes. I didn't care about my passions. And I'm going, that's not like me. This is weird. This is totally weird. And I found the very first flavor I could find was anger. And as long as you can grab onto one of those colors and flavors, and I'll tell you what, anger is a wonderful healing tool because it's a tool. All of our emotions are tools. Anger's like a hammer. You can use it constructively and build things and break through barriers with it and really get to the cause and things like that. But you can also use a hammer as a weapon to hurt people as well. So it all depends how you use it. We can get motivated and we can get angry at ourselves and go, right, I'm not going to let this fear control me anymore. I'm going to do this. And you can get really motivated to break through barriers because you're angry about where you are and you want to change it. So it's a great tool that way. But it's not good if you're taking your pain out on the ones you love with anger. That's destructive then. So yes, I always tell my clients that they have to get in touch with their emotions. And one of the first steps is anger. Get angry about something, scream at the wall, throw a blanket over the clothesline and hit it as hard as you can with a tennis racket. I don't care, whatever. Just let it out in a safe way. Let that pain, let that hurt, let that anger out and get in touch with it. And some people are amazed with the walls and barriers they've built, that they're holding that back and going, yes, anger's terrible. I shouldn't feel that. And that's part of the healing process. So, yeah.
I love how you said anger is a tool. And in particularly when I work with clients, I always ask, have you gotten pissed off yet? Are you pissed off yet?
Yeah.
And a
Yeah.
lot of them are like, oh, I don't know. I
Yeah.
want you to get so pissed off, because
Yes.
in that anger, in that's where the change happens, right? It's
Yes.
letting go, it's shedding that
Yes.
past narrative, it's letting go, it's processing, like you said, like a
Yes.
hammer, using it
Yes.
to build the next step.
Yes.
Yes. I
And this is right, that we're a human being and we have these emotions for a reason. And when we behave like a robot, you're only going to get a robot. We have to be human. We have to feel and we have to express with our emotions. And that is healing in itself, just expressing your emotions. So yes,
It's that, and
definitely.
that's such an important point, right? Because we are conditioned to pack our emotions away. We,
Yes.
you know, You have to be even keel in society. That's what society wants, and that's what it manufactures, right? And as a result, we have this society that doesn't know how to process emotions effectively, which is why they kind of get stuck in anger because, like, I don't know how to process this. No one's taught me how to process my emotions. And like you said, that's a huge part of it. But because we don't know how to process it, we avoid it heavily without recognizing that these emotions actually weigh us down, actually keep us stuck. And when we can put a name to how we feel, that's actually a great step in order for us to move ourselves forward.
I had a client come to me, and she was probably 19, 20, and she was your typical goth, black hair, white makeup, black lipstick, black fingernails, the whole thing. And she was curious about a past life, and she, not that consciously she knew something was wrong, but I think subconsciously she wanted to know, why am I like this? But it felt very natural for her to be in that kind of repressed, depressed, black and white mode of no emotions. And luckily I knew her mother, and her mother suggested, try a past life regression just for fun. So she tried it, and she connected back to the 1800s in England, that she was an orphan at an orphanage. And because she was a pretty teenage girl, in those days you could buy orphans. And she was bought by one of the establishments for the working girls of a night. So unfortunately, she was then, her life was prostitution in that business. And unfortunately, she contracted something like syphilis at the time, and that was a very bad disease that slowly destroys the whole body. And she died in that building with no friends, no family, and just feeling so much loss and so much sorrow. That's what happened to her. So in this life, because she was getting around that same age and same time of what happened in the past life, her subconscious mind is saying, oh, something happens around this time and it's not good. And then she was subconsciously connecting with those emotions and going, I don't feel happy. It's a lot of grief, a lot of sadness. And that's why she was dressing that way. She didn't want to express any happiness, only grief. And once she connected with that life and saw what happened to her, that connected her emotions. And when she came out of that session, for a good 20 minutes, all she did was cry. And we went through a box of tissues. She just had to let that grief out. She'd been holding on to that grief for nearly 200 years.
So,
So, yeah.
tell us a bit more about the process of past life regression. What does it
Sure.
look like when you work with clients? What I mean, I've heard people talk about this before. I've never
Yes.
spoken to someone who does it. So, like,
Okay, no
break it
worries.
down
No worries.
for us.
Sure. In a condensed version, basically through relaxing someone down to a relaxed state of mind, by just through a hypnotherapist guiding a person with their voice, and just guiding them down to a very relaxed state. I like to take about 1 hour to really relax someone gently down to a very deep relaxed state. You're still aware that you're sitting in the room, you're still aware of everything else, but it's like you're watching, it's like when you close your eyes, and if I said to you, imagine the last movie you really enjoyed, okay? With your eyes closed, you can see that movie in your mind, right? Or certain scenes of it. And it's the same thing with hypnosis. You're connecting to a movie, and sometimes you think it's your imagination, your daydreaming, which is similar. But in this particular event, we're going back to the source of whatever information they're after. And when it connects, it's like a daydream, it's like a movie. playing. So they're watching the movie and they're watching it like an outside person. And then the more they connect with that movie, the more they're in the movie then. And then they're actually doing and going through it. And they're feeling all the emotions as they go through that movie. And they've got this understanding. It doesn't matter what country it's in, doesn't matter what language is being spoken, it's being translated in their mind to modern day English or whatever country what your modern day language is. And you can understand the concepts, you can understand even who people are in that past movie. You can identify if you know them in your current life. So by looking at their eyes and their face, you'll go, I know this person. They're my current day sister or brother or best friend. So it's got an amazing connection as the more you explore this movie. And then you're gaining all this information, but it's your own information. It's your own book of life. It's just, when we come into this life, we agree to a contract to forget. So you might have 500 past lives, or you might only have five. But when we're given the opportunity through our soul guides to say, hey, all right, here's this new life that you're going to have. You've asked for this and that and these lessons, we've arranged this, but the only thing you have to do is sign this contract to forget your past lives so that you'll think this is the first life you've ever had on earth. This is the only life you've had on earth. And you don't know how the system works or all the other knowledge that you've gained over those past lives. You'll have to learn all from the start, but you'll apply yourself honestly because you don't know any other lives. So that's the beauty of each life we forget. We apply ourselves genuinely. This is our very first life and we don't understand what's happening. So for a student, that's a great thing. But for our past traumas, it's not a great thing because then we can't connect with them.
Precisely. So, Craig, I've really enjoyed this conversation. Can you tell us a bit more of how we can connect with you online?
I do have a Facebook page, Universal Wisdom. So that's what I'm using at the moment. And I have a email connection from there. Yeah, just try that out.
Okay, we'll put the information in the show notes. And before we wrap it all up, give us
Yes.
one key takeaway for the audience to action.
Okay. We are an energy being inside our physical body, and we are immortal, and this energy cannot be destroyed. And we're one spark of the beautiful big sun of energy. Call that the supreme being, the creator, whatever name you want to give it. It's unconditional love. And we are all children of that unconditional love. And we're given physical lives to learn and to show our true colors through our lessons. Every life has its purpose, if it can't be seen at the time. And love is the most important thing, and how we learn that through our lessons. And yes, some lessons are tough, and life is a test of the soul, and it is a jungle down here. But if we can show love to each other, that helps us get through our lessons. We're all students. We're all learning about all that unconditional love and how to express it, how to receive it as well, and how to make our world a better place. And it's a school. We're all learning our lessons through our school. And the main thing is not to destroy each other or the school, through hate and hurt and everything. That's the lessons. For those souls, they're stuck in those lessons. But the people that can rise above it and find love and beauty in the world and help others, you're gaining your angel wings by doing that.
I
So
love that.
you're rising above it. And
I love that.
that's what spirit wants to see, us learning and helping and rising above it. And to me, it really helps me to survive this crazy world, knowing that there is a purpose, a beautiful purpose behind it, and there's a beautiful reward behind it, and we're just lessons in this amazing school, but not to take negative energy off people or to let anyone hurt you or take your light away from you. So it is a bit of an arm wrestle of, the light versus dark down here. And just find your light and let it grow within you and help it to grow in other people.
I love that so much, Craig. Thank you so much for your time on Survival Mode Disrupted. Audience, listen, love, that's the answer. Thank you for catching another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose, because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken, you're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it, don't numb it, move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.